And a good Saturday morning to you. This one, the 6th of December. Andy Lindis, all ready to answer any kind of a home improvement question you may have. Andy, good morning to you. I know you're there. Please be there.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I knew I'd find it.
The old whistle from the Flintstones cartoon at the mine? The start.
Say that again?
Show?
Oh, yeah. How about that?
I've never heard this is a new intro. I'm pretty sure that was the whistle from the old Flintstones cartoon letting us know it's time to go on lunch break at the mine.
You are probably right. And that's also a cue for listeners to call in any kind of a home improvement question they may have. 651-461-9226. You can call it in and you can text it in, whichever you prefer, whichever is easier. 651-461-9226. I keep thinking, Andy, of previous shows, especially a few years ago, but I think you had mentioned it maybe last show, that phrase, polar vortex. And some weather folks are throwing that phrase around again. And I was thinking just this past week when we had such frigid weather, how do your crews stay warm and how do they even work in some of this weather?
Well, when it gets polar vortex-y, this is when we get a lot of things done around the office and any indoor projects. It's just any of the tools, the fasteners, the glues, the paints, none of that works when it gets that cold outside. So exterior work usually has to go on hold. The good news is those types of weather temps usually are short-lived. You know, it's like a week, maybe 2 weeks. And over the last 5 years, we've had maybe if I were to look at the average, Jenny, it's under 15 days the entire winter where we really try not to work outside. So if you really think about it, it's not that big of a deal. We just have to delay some projects or we get some things done on the interior of our own office and places that we just kind of have to juggle the schedule around. But working outside in those conditions, it's not safe. And usually the results of the project are not going to be what we wanted to. Now, under certain circumstances, we have to do what we have to do. And one of those circumstances on a new construction build this week, and my roofing people are, I think, the best in the country, Denny. And this is one of those roofs that we were going to redeck, and it was getting redecked in the insulation board. So we ordered a little bit extra of this insulation board. What that is OSB with 2 inches of styrofoam attached to it. We made a box out of that material, and we put a big enough box so we could put over the entire materials that were sitting in the driveway and put a heater in there and warm up those materials before they got installed on the house. Made it much more easy to work with those materials. They laid flatter, they nailed easier, it gave us a better chance. Now we had to hand seal some of these shingles, but it just was we do what we have to do. Sometimes it adds some expenses to the project. It adds some time to the project. But where we live, it won't be the last time we have to figure out how to work in cold weather.
Yeah.
And, you do what you have to do. And for us, the warranties that we give customers that basically back these materials for life or 50 years, you're going to do whatever it takes to make sure you're not getting called back to that project. And we know going into those projects that this is going to be backed by a lifetime workmanship warranty and a 50-year material warranty. When you know that, it's okay to be like, hey, why don't we wait a couple of weeks? And we have customers, if your roof isn't leaking, your siding isn't leaking, they're okay with that. Most people understand where they live, and they don't want workers on their house when, heck, Thursday night, I brought my nieces to the Nutcracker Ballet.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Which was a lot of fun, by the way. But the poor kid, we upped for the valet parking, which was $15 and probably was money well spent for how cold it was that night. But yeah. The poor kid taking the ticket that night, he couldn't get the ticket out of the book because his hands were frozen.
Oh, man.
So this is just a guy working with a paper book. Now imagine you got a guy working with metal tools. Now granted, my guys are going to have gloves and heated vests and a bunch of other things, but your fingers stop working when it gets that cold, and you kind of need that, not only from a safety standpoint, but from a craftsmanship standpoint and a finished product standpoint, hands are important.
So this was the Nutcracker, the Minnesota Dance Theater folks?
You know what? We ended
downtown?
Up going over to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, at the confluence. It was a pretty good rendition of the ballet. So it was a not exactly something I always look forward to, but when you get to go do something like that with three little girls and my wife, and they're all they all have a little bit of a dancing background. It was a lot of fun. It really was.
We're getting off the topic here, but the reason I asked you about the Minnesota Dance Theater is because my oldest granddaughter was the prima ballerina for the Nutcracker, among other things.
Awesome!
Yeah,
awesome.
That was before she became a mom, and now she's busy doing other things, dancing around two little ones. That's a whole other story, but yeah, it's great to see. I wanted to ask you, Andy, about
that my wife would always go and watch it at. There was a fella. My father-in-law, you know, was a union carpenter, and there was a guy on his crew, I think his name was Royal, and he danced in that every year, so they always went and cheered him on.
All right, yeah.
I wonder if my wife has seen your daughter dance before.
Oh, probably so. Years ago, I did it very often, but, you know, these people are athletes. I mean, this is big-time workout.
Tremendous athletes, and, like, if I have a hard time not making sounds just walking around, but somehow they can jump 10 feet in the air and land without making a sound was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I never thought our Home Improvement Show would be talking about the ballet, but hey.
Yeah, we should probably move on.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at a text. Let's do this. I'm getting a bit of a signal here. Let's take a quick break, and we're getting some text messages coming in. Yeah, if you have any kind of a home improvement question, now's your chance to ask Andy Lindis that very question, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. And we do welcome your home improvement questions by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Andy Lindis, here's one that came in a bit ago. Andy, how warm does it need to be for inside spray foam insulation to be sprayed? New build with minimal heat currently. Love the show. Well, thanks for that. What about that foam insulation?
You need to condition the area to be over 40 degrees, and you should be able to do some temporary heaters and things to try to air seal that up. We do this a lot in the wintertime with attic spaces, so it's something that is usually pretty easily achieved on new construction with depending on how far along in the new construction process are. That can be a little bit more difficult, but the technicians know, like, if you don't have it at the right temperature, it's just not going to go well. You're going to end up with foam that doesn't either cure, adhere, or shrinks and cracks. When it shrinks and cracks, it can cause a whole bunch of problems. Now you're creating voids in the wall that are going to either be warm or cold spots for mold and mildew to go there, or rot to happen, or condensation to happen. And when that starts happening, it's just only a matter of time before it leads to a lot of damage. So, great question. Something you want to be aware of, and I would definitely talk to your installer about making sure that it's at least 40 degrees. And you've seen a lot of these do-it-yourself kits, and I just saw one the other day, and it was basically the one-pound Hilti can that they're selling, this blue closed-cell spray foam. You can buy it in a kit, and it was comparing, like, what it costs to get a professional to do it versus doing it yourself. And yeah, it's way, you can buy the materials and do it yourself pretty cheap, and I would do that. But please practice installing that product somewhere besides what you're trying to do. Just get a scrap piece of wood so you understand how much it actually expands, what actually happens, and make sure that your space is conditioned. And you have, I mean, it comes with all the safety equipment, but the safety equipment I didn't see in the kit was a respirator, and that's something we make sure all of our people wear when we're working in those types of spaces.
Andy, I was thinking back of when Lindis, this is at two different times because of the different attics. I had Lindis install that great foam, which has really been what a saver as far as savings. Did we have to leave the house for a little while? I can't remember if it wasn't for very long. Is
yeah,
that kind
Monday.
Of
You need to leave for 24 hours, let it cure up. And it's something we go over with all of our customers and make sure that they're aware of.
But not what a difference.
Being completely sealed off, you're probably pretty okay, but a good rule of thumb is at least to get outside, let it cure up for a day before it's all done.
Yeah, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Phone number is also, our text number is 651-461-9226. Have you ever had anybody call Lindis and complain because their heating bills or cooling bills were too big or too small? I mean, you know what a savings that is.
Yeah, absolutely. It especially with the way utilities seem to be going up and up, and the way the experts at B paint the picture of where our energy costs are going to go in the future. It's something to definitely keep in mind. As far as ROI and payback goes, nothing that you can do to your home can beat insulation and what it does. Not only from a comfort standpoint too. There's a lot of times that we cut down in half the amount of times the furnace has to change the air over in the house. And these are, you know, as you go through the years, we have lots of different ratings that we look at, but one of the ratings that we can be sure on to know exactly what the changes we made in the house is when we do actually hook it up to a blower door, and we can understand the amount of air that's moving through the house. How many, what is the difference there? And when you cut that number in half, that's telling us that the furnace is working half the amount of time. So not only extending the life of your furnace, but you're cutting your energy use for the furnace down, your gas bill down by 50%. That's not an uncommon thing when you look at some of the insulation jobs we've done in the Twin Cities. And if you go to our Facebook page or our website, you can watch videos now that brings people through, like what we diagnosed, what we found when we first looked at the attic, what we did to remove all of the old insulation, and what we did to finish off that space. So it kind of gives you a good rule of thumb. If you want to peek into your attic, you know, you watch that video, you want to peek into your attic, you should be able to have the tools and to know, like, hey, maybe I should get a professional out here. A good rule is, if you look in your attic and there's two types of insulation in there and you still think your house is not comfortable as it could be, or you're spending too much money on your energy, chances are that they added insulation and did nothing. Because we see this all the time. Just adding insulation over the top of old insulation is usually not the answer. In fact, sometimes it can make matters worse in your attic, because now you're creating a colder surface that once warm air finally does get through there, it's a colder surface that warm air is coming into contact with. So you actually lower your condensation rating, making it easier to condensate in your attic. Attic air sealing and ventilation are, if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say that those two things are 70% of the problem. The insulation and the R value is 30% of the problem. I really do truly believe that. And so going through and sealing off your attic to make sure no air can get in there is what we do with our closed cell spray foam when we put down 2 inches, or we spot seal, especially when we the amount of houses that we go into that have zero vapor barrier, meaning there's no poly between the ceiling, the sheetrock, and the rafters. So you have to put some type of vapor barrier down before you put the insulation if you're going to try to get the house up to code. So it's just something to, if you want to, just you're curious, you don't want to take the time to get an estimate, watch a couple of those videos, take a peek in your attic, and with very little damage to your insulation. Don't walk around your attic, because the more you walk around your attic, you're lowering everything. In fact, if I go up there, it's pretty funny sometimes when I go up with our infrared imaging, and you can see footprints through in the infrared imaging, because it's a different temperature there than the rest of it, because it's compressed all of the insulation down. So you're looking at like what used to be an R30, now it's an R15.
You, Andy, mentioned blower door test. Maybe you can explain, first of all, what that is, but would that be recommended for those folks that maybe don't know what they have in their attic? Maybe they can't have access to it or don't want to. Would you recommend a blower door test just to see how the house is doing and then react accordingly?
Yeah, we do. If we can't figure out what's going on with the house, then we're going to break out the blower door test. The nice part about this really cold weather, our ordinary diagnostic tools, such as just even having a, we have a little water vapor machine so it puts out like a smoke, and that tells us where air is moving. We have infrared imaging cameras. That's going to tell us all of your hot and cold spots from the exterior of the house and from the attic. And we actually have cameras that we can go into the walls with and take a look at, and a little bit further, moisture meters, something that we're going to use on a pretty regular basis so we can see what the moisture content is of whatever building material it is to make sure that there hasn't been condensation issues or leaks or anything. So a lot of times we can figure it out with just those tools, but if we're scratching our head trying to figure out what is going on with this house, yeah, then we're going to break out the, or, you know, the what I call the perfect time of year where it's basically it's 60 degrees inside the house and 60 degrees outside. That's, you know, it's about as good as it gets. And but the infrared imaging really makes it difficult there. Now, when it's going to be 2 below tomorrow,
yeah,
it and one the pressures of the house change too, so it starts to pull air down the walls at those times. So you're kicking on your furnaces. It's just a lot, and it's pretty rare that my techs can't figure out what's going on with the house with just ordinary diagnostic tools.
And about, I know we're going to break for weather, but about how long does that blower door test take?
90 minutes. The actual heat map analysis, insulation, if we have to do the blower door, maybe adds 20 minutes to the project. But, yeah, it's one of those things we can accomplish in pretty short order.
Great. Yeah, you get so much good information. Hang on, Andy. We're going to take a break, have a look at that chilling forecast, and see what this next week will bring. And then we'll pick up on more home improvement questions. You can call Andy. You can text Andy either way, 651-461-9226 from Newstalk A3O WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show. Andy Lindis, of course, answering those questions for you this morning, either by phone or by text. You want to call and chat with Andy? That's great. If it's easier, send the text like some folks are doing, 651-461-9226. Andy, here is another text from a listener who has a gas insert fireplace on the first floor. When the wind blows, there's a huge draft. The original company is no longer in business. Do I call another fireplace or a carpenter to insulate that cavity? What do you think that listener should do, Andy?
Yeah, I'm guessing your vent is stuck open. It's something that is pretty common. Seems like some of those vent pipes that go out with electric gas pipes have a tendency to be susceptible to wind, where the wind is actually going into that and then blowing back in, which can be pretty dangerous too. So it's something you're going to want to get a professional to take a look at. We got to remember what that is meant to do. Is get rid of the poisonous gas that is happening from the burning of gas. So it's getting rid of the carbon dioxide and putting it outside. And it's just something that if it's windy and that's blowing inside, is a bad thing. So one, I wouldn't use your gas place if that's something you're feeling on a regular basis, because the damper or whatever is on the outside of that isn't working properly. It shouldn't be possible for wind to blow air into your house because of where your electric gas place vents. Something isn't right there, and either take a look at yourself or get a professional involved. And the good news is, probably not an expensive fix. It's usually not something that is going to cost an arm and a leg. It's a pretty inexpensive part on the exterior of the home, and anybody worth their salt in the fireplace world should be able to take care of it on that first trip.
Yeah, I think you're right. A listener was interested in what your comment, we were talking about cold weather and the crews being, you know, having to work in cold weather, interested in the clothing you had alluded to. And I find that interesting too. Heated vest. You've talked about that a couple of years ago. What kind of things are available for workers outdoors that keep them warm?
We have heated insoles that are on a remote control. Those are pretty awesome. And then we have a lot of different types of heated jackets, shirts and vests, all from Milwaukee. And we use Milwaukee. One, they make a flat battery for it too now that makes it a little bit easier to put into the pocket. There's a few different heating clothing lines out there, but I would just really only have familiarity with the Milwaukee ones in a couple of different settings. And it's nice that it runs off the same batteries that most of our tools do. So it just goes hands in hand. You know, Linus Instruction, we're Milwaukee Pro Staff, Denny. So we have all full disclosure there. We're kind of biased towards the Milwaukee folks. I'm sure there's a lot of really nice heated clothing lines out there, but most of my people use the Milwaukee Tools line of heated clothes, and it does make the job much more bearable outside. And heck, if I go inside a hockey rink to watch a hockey game, I'm going to probably have my Milwaukee heated vest on. So
that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Speaking of which, now not hockey, but a little bird told me that yesterday was your birthday.
Yes, fun jam-packed day, and topped it off watching Christmas movies with my grandson. It was a lot of fun.
How neat. Now, how old is the grandson now?
He's 19 months old now, so he is a mover and a shaker, and is about 2 foot of tornado. He goes around the house and gets in everything, and it's a lot of fun. I'm going to try to get him up to the house sledding today. We have a nice little sledding hill, but I think the cold temperatures being at, I think we're at our high temperature for today, about 20 degrees. So might be waiting till Monday to do any type of sledding.
Well, happy birthday. Happy belated birthday for those that didn't get to you. Andy, Linda's birthday yesterday. A listener evidently wants to get some new windows, but they're concerned about the cold. And I know we've said that Linda's puts in windows in all sorts of weather. But he or she wants to know, is there ever a time where you don't install windows?
You know, but yeah, if it's going to be crazy below zero, then we're probably going to hold off a day or two. Like I said, those days are short-lived. If it's going to be above zero, it really isn't that big of a deal. We can condition those spaces. We can put some poly over the opening if we need to, if we're worried about the foam setting up or anything like that. And what people have to keep in mind is that opening typically isn't open very long. It's under a half hour for us to take a window out and put a new window in. And more often than not, if the opening doesn't have to get addressed, and the nice thing about what we do and how we do it, we're able to know, for the most part, if we're going to have to address the opening in any manner, meaning if there's a lot of rot and we have to reframe and rework those openings, then that's might be waiting for a little bit better weather. But the energy savings you're going to get and how much more comfortable your house is, it's worth the short-lived cold day. Meaning that like when we leave in the evening, if it's going to be a multi-day project, the entire house will be sealed up and conditioned, and you'll be able to be in there just fine. But during the day, it might be a little bit colder in there, but we have you turn your heat way down so you're not wasting money. But it's an easy thing to do no matter the weather, typically. And on average, my window crews really only take 2 to 4 days off a year because of weather. So no. It's not a not a lot.
No, I guess not. Yeah, it's a really quick turnaround. I'm looking at another text. Let me see. It just jumped again. Okay, since we got a new roof, why do the hot water pipes in the walls of our bathroom make a noise when running hot water in the winter?
I'm guessing the wall isn't insulated well, so it's a cold area, and as you're running hot water through there, you're getting some expansion and contraction that's making the pipe bang against the wood there. It's usually what the problem is. It's expanding contraction because that's a very cold area. I never understood how they run pipes on the exterior of a wall in bad insulation. It's just it sounds like it's a recipe for disaster. Something you might want to look into if you're hearing a lot of noise when you turn the hot water on in your pipes. Now, you've been in this house for years, and this is the way it's always been. Chances are it's not going to be a problem. But for me, that's a clue that wall is probably not insulated as well as it should be and might be worth further discovery to see exactly what's going on in there.
What would you do if that was your house now and you heard that suddenly with a new roof, you're hearing these water pipes noise? What would you do?
I would talk to my contractor. If I just made a change, is that what happened, Denny? They just had a new roof and now the pipes are making those
exactly.
Kind of noise?
Yes.
So, yeah, it could be. Then I would talk to the roofer and see if they touch any of the plumbing, because some of the fasteners might have come undone. Maybe they're not attached the way they used to be. That definitely would. If you definitely just did a remodel and now you're hearing this, it's something you're going to want to look into. And if that contractor won't do it, I would maybe talk to another contractor. For me, on my personal home, and I could put my camera in there and see exactly what's going on. Like, if I could get a visual of what is going on while the hot water, what is making the noise, that's going to tell me a lot of things and give me my next steps and course of action.
Yeah, that makes sense. Here's a question I don't think we've ever had before. Does Linda's Construction install elevators in homes?
Yes. Yes.
You do?
Yeah, wow. We have. We have a couple of different companies we've worked with in the past to install elevators inside houses. So it's not something we personally do, but we do have a couple of recommendations. I did get to ride in one the other day. Mm. I've never been inside this particular, almost looks like a, remember those old like mail tubes that you could put something into at the bank? This is what that looked like. But it was just went straight up and down. So I thought, you know, we were going to get, I had to take a ride. And it was only 14 feet down. But, and it was really only room for one. But as far as a aging in place feature, nice feature.
Yeah, I should say. All right. Kind of like a little pneumatic tube there.
Mm-hmm.
Texter says this, asks this, any recommendations for removing a musty smell in the house? We cannot pinpoint the source. New carpet on the lower level with proper padding. No in-floor heat. Have a dehumidifier. No obvious leaks. Mold growth. Have had ServPro come out to assess. Could not find anything. Ducts have been cleaned. It's driving me crazy. What do you think is going on there?
I don't know. But I would be willing to bet that if we did a heat map analysis of that house, we'd be able to figure something out on what is going on. Not to put down ServPro, but I just think that the people we have at Linda's Construction diagnose and are able to understand the building sciences better than most people in the country can. So it's something we spend an awful lot of time talking about and educating our people on. So we have the best chance of going in there and actually tackling the customer's problems and making sure that their needs and wants are taken care of. So I would have us out, take a look at it, see what we can come up with, where that musty smell is coming from, and go from there.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And to that listener, those listeners, 844-9-LINDUS, you can call this coming week, 844-9-LINDUS. Another texter asked this question, Andy. Does Andy recommend to run the furnace fan constantly? I know that's a battle for some folks. What do you think?
Depends on the house. You know, if it's you're struggling with air movement in certain parts of the house, but it's not something I've ever done or noticed a difference on. I know some people are recommended it keeps the temperature the same everywhere, but, you know, I have ceiling fans that run in most of my places. And we do reverse them in the wintertime, but I don't know. I just, I've always thought, like, why would you have something run 24/7? It just seems like a wear and tear on the machine that's not necessary if it's not necessary. I think individual houses are, it's up to those houses and try it. See what's more comfortable, you know? Say, hey, this month we're going to run it constant on. Next month we're not. Look at, you know, as long as there's not a big difference in the temperatures as there is outside, it should give you a clue on what is most more efficient and what is more comfortable. And go from there.
I guess the theory of running it all the time was to kind of get rid of any dead spots in various rooms, you know, keeping that air circulating. But again, I think you said it. It depends on the home, the structure. All right. Let's take a quick break here. Be back on the other side. If you have any home improvement question, we'd love to hear from you. Text-wise, phone-wise, either way, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show. Denny Long here along with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Well, Andy, it's hard to believe. Here it is December, and I know there's some good deals. We've talked about them. What does the month of December bring from Lindis Construction?
Well, as always, we have that free heat map analysis where my team will come out and diagnose exactly what the R values of your insulation are, whether or not you have a vapor barrier, and any problem areas that we do detect along the way, whether those are hot spots or cold spots or condensation issues. So it's a free service, and we'll sit down and go over all of that with your energy bills and let you make the best decision for your home, whether or not you need insulation or you should be okay holding off. And, of course, we have 75% off labor on the installation of Infinity Windows by Marvin. That's windows and doors and insulation are the best deals that we have going on right now.
Very good. 844-9-LINDAS. Give him a call this coming week, 844-9-LINDAS. Looking at a text, Andy, that says this, we have covers on the gutters. And with the last rain, still developed foot-long icicles. What's with that? Well, icicles aren't necessarily, explain why there could be icicles, not even with leaf guard gutters, but that's not a problem with the gutter.
No, I'd have to look at the exact situation, what type of cover you have. Now, if the cover is frozen solid, some of those micro screens in that last rain froze solid and led to a lot of water overflowing. The way most hood-type systems, so this is your leaf guards of the world, gutter shutter of the world, gutter helmet, leaf it alone, leaf away, there's a bunch of them. Any type of hood system, sometimes water can start to freeze on that hood and either start to come down, or if water fills up inside the gutter, it's designed, the leaf guard is designed in a way to make the water come down instead of going back up onto your roof. As we install open, ordinary gutters, and we install leaf guard gutters. And they're two separate systems. What I've noticed with our ordinary open gutters, the profile of the gutter actually comes out farther. So you can't really see from the ground. It's harder to see the edge of the roof compared to that of leaf guard. But when we get up there with a ladder, if people are having snow melt issues and ice issues, chances are that open gutter is going to grab that ice and build it up onto your roof. And if I was given a choice to have ice go up onto my roof or icicles come down, I would have icicles coming down. Now, if you have a front door area, this is something we're testing. Just ordered my first couple. And like at my house, I have a gutter that runs along the entire front of my home and right over a door. And my entryway, again, this is an old four-square, you know, farmhouse built in 1903 or 04, something like that. There's not enough room to insulate that area. So I know that my entryway is going to have some heat loss in the wintertime. So I ran a heat tape along the back edge of my flashing because our leaf guard is aluminum. So it does an okay job of actually conducting energy. So the entire gutter system warms up and I don't have to worry about icicles. But I've looked at these heating mats for stairs and walkways and driveways and just ordered their starter kit. It was $500. I'll report back on what I'm thinking, but like some of these houses are designed with valleys where the front door is. Just make no sense to me. Like, let's put all of the water and snow come down right where the front door is. So if you have a big like icy area that you know, I want to know like what it costs. One, what it costs to run these little mats, these outdoor mats. I watched the videos on how well they melt snow, and I've seen some things on heated driveways. In fact, when I did the remodel on my shed, Denny, just out of curiosity, I guess I did all in-floor heat in my shed. Mm-hmm. I priced out in like doing that in my driveway, running it at a lower temperature, thinking sure. You know how cool it would be to never have to plow again. You just hit a switch and your driveway melts off. But the $95,000 price tag kept me away from that.
That's a lot of plowing.
I'm still plowing. And still plowing and shoveling, but I ordered one of those heat maps, and I will report back next week what works. So if you have any ice issues, like on a front stoop or a front door, they make one that looks just like a floor mat, like a welcome mat. I'm pretty excited about it, especially if you have a deck that's pretty slippery, like I do. I think it could be a nice feature.
Well, report back when you test it out. That's great.
I will.
Here's one right up your alley. I know what you're going to say. Texter says this, I can feel cold air coming in through the electrical outlets on the outside walls. Will putting outlet covers on help out? Or do I need to do something more?
Not only will putting out the covers not help, chances are you're going to create a worse problem. You're going to put that cold air someplace else in the wall instead of coming out of the wall. And when that happens, it's eventually going to meet a warm surface and condensation is going to happen. This isn't air getting pushed through the wall and coming out the outlet. This is what when we talked a little bit earlier in the show about the pressure changes happening in the house when it gets colder. Something called stack effect is going to happen. So as your warm air escapes up into the attic, it's going to push cold air somewhere. And if you don't have a properly sealed attic, that air is going to come down your walls and come out your windows, doors, and outlets. Then we get called out the houses all the time, and people think they have bad windows because they're feeling that draft. And sometimes it is a bad window. It can, like, a window can feel drafty just by having a piece of cold glass. As that warm air hits that cold glass, it can start to move the air, so it feels like a draft. But a lot of times when some people come out and say, hey, I can feel a draft coming through my windows, my people, one of the first things they're going to go to is the outlet. So they feel it coming out of the outlet as well there. That means that air is moving in the walls, and that needs to be addressed. So when we talk about the attic system being the filter of the air in your home, it's this whoever texted that, that's what's happening. So think about this. And unless you get that addressed, say you have rodents that got into your attic, or bats that got into your attic, or raccoons that got into your attic, all of that air that's coming to your house is getting filtered through that insulation and then coming into your home. So you might, not only might do you have a problem in your attic, you have a problem with drafty walls, you might have an air quality problem too. It's when you feel that, get a insulation professional, somebody that specializes in attic air sealing, and have them take a look at it and give you their best, what they would do if it was their home. Well, how do they fix that? But those outlet covers, waste of time and money, and a lot of times cause more damage than good.
Andy, we only have 2 minutes left in the show, but I do want to get your comment on this one about windows. First of all, good morning, Andy and Danny. First of all, happy birthday, Andy. Well, very good.
Thank you.
That listener. I would like to know what you think about Renewal by Anderson Windows. We recently had a rep out to our home. They said our house will be a full frame replacement, which you always say is the only way to do it. I know you install Marvin windows, but are there ever any deals on the Infinity window? Sounds like they want the Marvin window. Do you dare comment on that one? I don't want to put you up against the wall here, but what would you?
Our window is better, hands down. I would put my window in a home, the Infinity window by Marvin, in a home against a Renewal window, and do all of the testing you want to do, and I think our window will beat their window. And I know my installation crews are better, and it might actually be a little bit less expensive than Renewal by Anderson. I think it's a good window. If I had to pick the first and second best windows in the Twin Cities, it'd be the Infinity window by Marvin, and then it might be the Renewal window by Anderson. But I'd do the Infinity window by Marvin. Then I'd look at the 400 series by Anderson over the Renewal window by Anderson. So I think that they still make a pretty good window there, and Marvin makes a really good wood line of windows as well, as does Pella. I've replaced too many Renewal by Anderson windows with the Infinity window by Marvin. I've seen too many leak issues by that window. It's just not a window I would put in my home. And I would encourage you to get a couple more estimates. And I think right now with 75% off of labor on the installation of Infinity windows by Marvin, it's a pretty good deal to be had.
Absolutely. Marvin, what a great product. Yeah, and for that person, those listeners and others that are interested in windows or any project, as I mentioned earlier, give Lindis a call this coming week, 844-9-LINDIS. Andy, again, happy birthday. We have to break off here, but let's do this again next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, Danny. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
And you as well. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Yeah, give him a call, 844-9-LINDIS. Ryan Perpich, thank you for producing this show. Thank you for listening. And I can tell you, we have a chance for snow today. maybe half an inch by its time it's all over. Overnight, too, about the same. Have a good weekend. Stay warm. Maybe rain and snow on Tuesday. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO.